podcast presentation of Hillside Four Square Church in Reno, Nevada. In today's Mother's Day message, Danae Lear will be teaching on the topic, Godly Womanhood Revisited.
She's going to speak to you, and most of you know her. She's my sister-in-law, Danae Lear. And Danae has always been just a great role model, I think, for everyone around, and especially for women. And even though she's a young woman, she's a great role model as a Christian. She comes from a family of believers. She's the middle sister of three daughters, and just a very solid, reliable role model as a Christian woman. And so Louis asked her to speak to us today about biblical womanhood, and I'm looking forward to that. So Danae, come on up. You guys, give her a hand. Is that microphone working?
Hello, hello. Yes. Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all you mommies out there. Before we get started, I want to pray. Pray with me. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to come together and to learn more about you, God, to learn more about the life that you want us to be living with you every day, walking with you. I pray for your Holy Spirit to come down, Lord, that your presence would be here leading and guiding. I pray for the hearts of everybody sitting here today, Lord, that we would be soft and that we would be able to receive the goodness that you want for each and every one of us. Bless our time this morning, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So like Sean said, Louis asked me to speak about 6 weeks ago on the topic of Proverbs 31. And when he asked me, initially I wrote back, it was on Facebook, and I said, well, let me pray about it. Which is, you know, can be Christianese for, I don't really want to do that, but I'm not going to tell you no right now. But 3 seconds after I did that, I felt the Holy Spirit say, just do it. And so 3 seconds later, I said, I'm going to do it. It's a quick prayer. And so here I am this morning. And like I said, that was probably about 6 weeks ago. And up until maybe about a week ago, I had nothing. And I was thinking, come on, give me something. We are losing time. And there was just nothing. And I think it's because this topic of biblical womanhood can be so controversial, and I don't like conflict, and it can be very, people have opinions about it and different ways that they interpret different things in the Bible, and I don't like to get wrapped up in that sort of thing. I like it peaceful. And so to get up here and to speak in front of all of you on a topic that you may not agree with what I'm saying is, I don't want to do it, but here I am because God is good. And he is going to do his work. I think about that verse, you know, that I must decrease and he must increase. And that's what I want today. I want him to be glorified. I want his truth to be spoken through my voice. And I want you guys to leave here feeling encouraged with the truth of God. So, the reason why Louis asked me in the first place, I should get my notes out before I get going, is because a couple of months ago, I was at women's camp, and I was having a conversation with a woman that I had just met, and we were having a good time and just talking about our families and about life, and inevitably, the conversation turned to, do you work? And I told her that I worked, and then I laid the icing on the cake when I said I work full time, right? And I started to talk to her just about how hard that can be, right? And she kind of looked at me with a little bit of pity in her eyes, and she said, you know, the women in my church have taught me what it means to be a real Proverbs 31 woman, and I'm going to pray for you. Right? And so the conversation stopped, but I left that conversation feeling very guilty and very convicted because I've worked through this. And I was at a place in my life where God has been so active and so confirming in where I am as a working mommy. But yet all of that just went poof. And her words just sunk deep into my soul. And I thought, what I'm doing is wrong. Everything I'm doing is wrong. And all of these conversations from my past started coming back up. And I remember specifically when I was about 12 years old, I was in a mentoring Bible study with a woman who I still love and respect very much. And the topic came up about women being homemakers and how that's godly. And I said, I want to be a chiropractor when I grow up, which is so funny because I still can't go 5 minutes without popping something in my body. And I also want to have a family. And she looked at me and she said, you can't do that. You can't do that. And later on, when I went back to work full time about 2 years ago, another woman that I really love and respect said, not to me directly, but to someone else in regards to me going back to work, that whenever a woman goes to work, especially full time, her family suffers. That as a woman hits home because our families are so deep in us. And more than anything in the world, I think is women, our families are number one. And so to think that we might be doing something that could make our families suffer, we don't want to do that. But is working really something that makes our families suffer? Something that we will talk a little bit more about today. So anyway, after I had that conversation with that girl, I was feeling all convicted, totally, you know, in my mind, I thought that God was convicting me. And so the next time that I was alone with the Lord, I said, okay, God, let's get this figured out right now. Tell me if I'm doing something wrong. Show me the errors in my ways. And I always already had in my mind how I was going to make this work on one income, how I was going to have to sell my car, how I was going to have to start couponing, which there's nothing against couponing, but it's just not my thing. But I was willing to do it. And I opened up to Proverbs 31 and I started to read. And the deeper I got into this passage, I was smiling and I could feel God smiling down on me saying, Danae, you are so silly. Stop putting yourself in these Christian boxes that you think that you have to do A, B, and C to please me. You do not have to follow a checklist to please me. Being a Christian woman doesn't mean that you look like A over here. Being a Christian woman means that you have a relationship with God, period. And that relationship is going to play out differently in every single one of our lives. Our lives are not always going to look the same. Our physical appearance is not going to look the same. The way that we raise our children is not going to look the same. God gives us that freedom. And it's the world and it's our flesh that likes to be in these little boxes that say, it looks like this. And I think we like to stay in those boxes because it feels safer. It makes us feel better that I can check off, I do this, and I do this, and I do this, so I'm good. It's a little bit unsafe to step outside of that box and to walk in faith with a God who is going to lead you in places that you don't necessarily know where you're going, and to walk in faith in that. And the wonderful thing about when we are walking in faith is even though it may look unfamiliar and it may not look like what our Christian culture or what we think it should look like, it still is the safest place that we can be. If we are walking in that box thinking that we have to look a certain way and do certain things in order to please God, there is no life there. None whatsoever. The only life that is to be found is when we are walking outside of that box in a dynamic, live relationship with God, with Him leading and guiding, and it's going to look different for every single one of us. So, let's dive into Proverbs 31. We're going to start in verse 10. And before we begin, I just want you to take a little minute and think about what comes to mind when you think about the Proverbs 31 lady. What does she look like to you? What does she do? Who is she to you? You may have an idea, you may not. My idea of this woman, you're going to laugh, but seriously, this was my idea of her, was that she wore a brown dress and an apron, and she lived in like this really humble hut, and she sat at one of those spinning things in Sleeping Beauty, right? And she had lots of little kids all over her, and there was a loaf of bread baking in the oven. That was my idea of Proverbs 31. And I wouldn't have articulated it like that, but that's how I thought of her. And I thought, that's a picture of a godly woman. She's at home. She's doing her thing in the house, right? So let's begin. Verse 10. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. I think it's interesting to note that the very first thing that's talked about in regards to this woman is not who she is as an individual. It's not who she is as a mother. It's not who she is, what she does every day. It's who she is to her husband. If you want to have an interesting conversation with your husband, ask him if he lacks anything in your marriage. It'll open up a lot of things to talk about. This woman's husband trusts her. Another version of this says that the heart of her husband trusts her. He has full confidence in her, in her talents, in her abilities, in who she is as a woman, and who God made her to be. He has full confidence in her. Not only does he have confidence in who she is, but he also has confidence that he can go to her, that she is a safe place for him to be, to lay down all of his vulnerabilities, and that she is going to protect him, that she's not going to turn around and go blabbing to the world about the weaknesses of her husband, that she is a safe refuge for him. When I'm thinking about all this, I can't help but think about who God is to us. And in fact, in Genesis, where it says that Eve is Adam's helper, that word helper is the same word that's used throughout Scripture when God is described as our helper. And this really rattled my brain when I first came across that. I thought, oh my gosh, I've been thinking about helper as like somebody who scrubs his toilets. It's so much more than that. It's not less than that, but it's so much more. We are a helper to our husbands in the same way that God is a helper to us. The helper that lifts us up when we are down, who believes in us when we don't believe in ourselves, who's that place of refuge and comfort and support, who loves us no matter what. We don't love our husbands because they're perfect. We love our husbands because God is in us and we have his love to give to them. Verse 13. So it starts to talk about now what this woman does every day. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark, and she provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. And we're going to stop right there. And I just want you to take this in. She gets up. She's working eagerly. She's not lazy. One thing that we're going to get out of this passage is this woman is far from lazy. She's working really hard, and she works eagerly. She wants to do it. She's providing for the physical needs of her family. She's giving them that food. And then this is where God and I just really started laughing, because not only did this woman have help, she had lots of help. She had servant girls. And at the time when I had spoken with this woman, I had a nanny. And our nanny was taking care of our son, my littlest, full time. She was picking up my other son and taking him to school. And she was doing all of our housework. And it was awesome. But the other side of that awesomeness was that I had this horrible feeling of guilt that I was failing as a Christian mother because I wasn't doing those things that I thought I had to do to please God, which is basically taking care of my house, me personally, and being the sole caretaker for my children. So when I read this, I thought, wow, this godly woman delegated her work. It doesn't say how she delegated her work, but she had help, right? And it is such a misconception in our culture today. There's a lot of different things that go into this, but we cannot do life on our own. We really cannot. And as women, we need help. And it's okay to get help. Depending on how you want to do that, it's kind of individual. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. Again, God was just letting those scales fall from my eyes as he showed me that this woman, what is she doing? She's going outside of her house and she's considering a field and she's buying it. And then she's planting a vineyard. She's making money and she's good at it. She is a savvy businesswoman. She's making money. And, you know, one of the reasons why I went back to work in the first place is because we had got ourselves in a situation because I had this idea in my head that, like, I had to be a stay-at-home mom, that I quit my job that I had before, and then we got pregnant, and then we had to have my appendix burst, so then I had to have all this medical attention, and I didn't have insurance, and our bills just went boop, 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 boop. And my husband was trying to handle all of this on his own. And one of the ways that I have helped my husband is actually by making money and helping him with that load. It's a very burdensome load. And in terms of what my husband values, that help is what he values, not so much that I'm home all of the time making sure all the plants get watered or whatever. Not to say that's all you do when you stay at home, because it's not. I have stayed at home, and that is quite the task, I'll tell you what. One of the when I was doing some research on this, I read a commentary on this, and one of the commentaries said that she considers a field and buys it. And it said, of course she went and talked to her husband about that before she bought the field. No, that's what it said. It said he trusts her, and so if a husband trusts a wife, then that means that the wife would talk to her husband before she buys it. And I'm like, I don't see that in there anywhere, that she went back and spoke to her husband before she bought the field. Not to say that we don't speak to our husbands, but to think that a woman has to, that she doesn't have the ability and the sense to make a decision like that on her own, I think is misrepresenting what God is saying here. I read this that he trusts her so much that it's okay for her to do that, that he wants her to do that. She's helping him. Verse 20, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. So here, what I see is that even though this woman is making money, she's not hoarding it. She's helping her community. She's looking out for those people that God brings in her life that he leads her to help. She's not hoarding her profits. She's sharing them. And then when it says, when it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. That translation, clothed in scarlet, I guess can also be translated as they are doubly clothed. And when I read this, I just get the sense that, you know, when those hard times come, when the winter comes, that her family's going to be okay because she has made a reserve for them. Either that they are doubly clothed, or in the way that I just read this, is they have savings. They're going to be okay. Verse 22, she makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Again, I had to stop here because whenever purple is talked about in the Bible, you think royalty. This woman was not poor. And I'm not saying that we all are going to make a ton of money and that that's what God wants. Don't come away from this talk thinking that you have to fit into a new box over here, right? But what this is saying is that it's okay to have money. We're all going to look different. This particular woman had a ton of money. Like, we are talking royalty. Louis has spoken on this before. To make 1 ounce of purple dye, it took 250,000 mollusks, these shellfish, to make 1 ounce of this dye. This woman had a ton of money. She is not that woman that I had in my head in a hut somewhere wearing a brown dress. She's wearing purple. Okay? Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes a seat among the elders of the land. Again, talking about her husband, and it's just so important who we marry. I married Joey, I like to say, when I didn't know up from down or if my favorite color was green or orange. I was so young, and thank God, that my older sister, she really liked Joey. And she really encouraged me that he was a good boy to marry, because that's what he was when I married him. And and I'm so glad, even though we've had our ups and downs, and I'm so glad because he really is. She had good judgment. I would not have had such good judgment, I don't think, at the time. But she had really good judgment, and I based a lot of why I married him because she said, he's a good one. Don't let him go. And I'm so glad that I did, because my husband's reputation is my reputation, and my reputation is my husband's reputation. You become one with that man. And again, another commentary I read said that this is like that saying that behind every good man is a good woman. Well, that could be true. That is true. But I would say it's reciprocal, because behind a good woman is also a good man. And it goes both ways. And I believe in a godly marriage, both people flourish. Both people are able to become their full potential. Not just the man. Both are. And I see that in my marriage. My husband supports me. He believes in who I am. He has confidence in my skills and my abilities. And he is so involved in making our life work together. And every marriage is going to look different. That's going to look different for every marriage. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. Again, there she's making something and selling it. She's a salesperson. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. This is huge. And no matter what you're doing, if you're at home scrubbing the toilets, dealing with children all the time, or whether you're at work dealing with the stresses and pressure of work, it is hard to laugh at the days to come. We get discouraged. I find myself looking at the future with fear and anxiety, which leads to depression. I deal with that every single day. I mean, even like getting up here to speak, right? It's like, fear. But as Christians, we have this gift to be able to laugh at the days to come. Why can we do that as Christians? Because we know our inheritance. We know what's coming. We know the end. God holds us and God wins. Nothing can touch us. I want you to flip over to Psalm 121. I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will never slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. I'm reading that book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, I think is what it's called. And it talks about this psalm. And then the way that it is explained is this. Once we get this psalm in our hearts, it is impossible for us to gloomily suppose that being a Christian is an unending battle against ominous forces that at any moment may break through and overpower us. Faith is not a precarious affair of chance escape from satanic assaults. And this is where you want to listen up. If you've fallen asleep, wake up. It is the solid, massive, secure experience of God who keeps all evil from getting inside of us, who guards our life, who guards us when we leave and when we return, who guards us now, and who guards us always. As Christians, we walk the everyday life with this solid assurance that God is never going to abandon or forsake us, and that his will is going to be done no matter what comes our way. It's a gift to walk with that sort of assurance. I think about, and I'll throw this out here for Louie and for my husband. It's like sitting in a baseball game and Giants versus the Dodgers. And the Dodgers are whooping us, but you know that in the ninth inning, Buster Posey is going to hit a grand slam and we're going to win. You know it. I mean, it's kind of a silly example, but really, that's as Christians, we know the ending. God wins. No evil can touch us. Nothing. So going back over here, we'll finish up. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. That watching over the affairs of her household, again, that's just going to look different for each woman and what her strengths and her abilities are. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. I think it's interesting that this is the first time that we've heard about her children, except for at the very beginning when it says that she supplies them food. This is the first time her children come in to play here. That was surprising to me. And it's not because our children are not important. But our children, especially I can speak to as a mom with young kids, they are not to take over our lives. They aren't. For seasons, sometimes we have to give them more time than others. But never once are they to take you over, where all of a sudden all you are is, I don't know, them, right? And you lose who God made you to be. One of the best things that you can do, I think, as a woman, is to find out those things that make you feel alive and do them. They are so much more important than the things that we think are important, like getting the laundry done or whatever. I told Louie that, you know, the one thing that I haven't ever given up is exercise. Thank goodness, because exercise keeps me sane and off the antidepressants, right? But there's so many other things that I can do that God gave me to do. I love to play music. I love to write. I love to go whatever, take a walk, take a run. We have to keep doing those things that make us feel alive. That's why God made us. I believe that at the end of this where it says that they arrive, that they call, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. They say that to her because she hasn't lost who she is as a person. She is using her gifts and abilities while at the same time taking care of her family. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. So the whole crux of this passage, I feel like, is right here. She fears the Lord. That can be a hard phrase to get our mind around, but the way that I can kind of get my mind around it is that God is number one in this woman's life. And when God is number one in our life, when he has all of our reverence, when he has all of our worship, when we don't fear anything else, he is a safe thing, a safe God to fear. He is the only safe thing to fear. I'll give you a couple examples of when I've feared other things besides God. One of them when I was 17 and I was afraid of food, so I didn't eat it. And that fear of food guided my life. It directed me. And it was devastating. Another time that I have put something besides God in that place where only God should go is when I married my husband. I put Joey there. And I felt like, oh, God gave me Joey, and now I don't need God anymore because Joey's making me complete. He is making me whole. Well, Jerry Maguire had it all wrong, and so do all of the pop songs out there, because we do not make each other whole. Only God can make us whole, because only he is holy. He is the, we're all broken. And when I put that expectation and pressure on my husband, it was not good in our marriage. And it wasn't until I finally figured out that I was trying to make Joey be the great I am instead of just letting Joey be Joey, that a lot of our problems started to work themselves out. So I'm going to leave you guys with just a little story. A couple weekends ago, I was cleaning the toilets because I don't have a nanny anymore. And so that's my Saturday ritual. And Noah, it was 11 o'clock on Saturday, and I hadn't had a shower. And when I wake up, I look like a meth addict. And it gets progressively worse as the day goes on. And I had been cleaning all morning, and Noah had been undoing everything I was doing. I'd Windex the slider and turn around, and he has, like, the dish rag going like that all over the window. So anyway, we were in the bathroom together, and he's like, "Mama, mama," and I'm down on the floor scrubbing the toilet, smelling the pee because they missed the toilet, and he's running his hands through my hair, and he's hanging off my back, and I'm just about ready to fling him off, you know, and he's saying, "Mama, mama," and I'm thinking that he's wanting a fruit snack or something, and he says, "Mama, you're so beautiful, mama. It's so beautiful, mama." And he kept saying that. And I was just reminded, in terms of my children, that even though they are hard work and they're a chore, that God wants us to look at them more as a gift and a blessing than his work. They arise and call her blessed. They bless her. They are a blessing to her. And even just shifting that perspective for me to think about my children, they're a gift. And to just take in that gift whenever I can. So today, as you guys go about your Mother's Day, I pray that you guys would all be blessed, children or no children, that you guys would be blessed because you're putting God first, because you're walking in his ways, you're walking in his freedom. I'll close in prayer. Father God, thank you for your individual work in each and one of our lives, Lord. Thank you for giving us grace right when we need it. Thank you for the gift of our children, for the gift of our husbands. Thank you that you are our all in all, that you supply everything that we need emotionally, physically, spiritually, that you are the fountain of life. May we come and drink from you more and more and more, walking in your fullness. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada.